Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, you're listening to the first ever episode of Known For with me, Becca Chapman, and my co-host.
Hey, this is Bob Shoy.
Today, we're looking at the filmography of the actor Tom Hanks.
The actor Tom Hanks. And like Becca said, it's our first ever episode, so we may still be finding the groove a little bit on this one.
Yeah, so bear with us and let's get to it.
Yeah, let's get straight into it. So on this podcast, we always use the online resource IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, to bring up the actor's filmography and look at, on that website, the four films they are most known for. We always make sure we watch those films and then we watch some of the others. Might be films they've been nominated for awards for, films they're notoriously known for, or other favourites that people have suggested to us. And then we decide what we think they should be known for. Sometimes we're going to agree with IMDb. Sometimes we have our own ideas of what they should be more recognised for if we have a few favourites or things that we think you should check out.
Sometimes we'll add in a wild card that you should check out.
Yeah, but we can talk about their whole filmography as we go.
Mm.
So, first of all, episode one, we're talking about Tom Hanks.
Yeah, the actor Tom Hanks.
The actor Tom Hanks.
On IMDb, he has 91 credits as an actor.
Right. And we've watched every single one.
Yeah. He's got a couple, like, at the moment, as we speak, which is, like, end of July 2019. He's got a couple in, like, pre-production.
Right.
Okay, so he's got nearly 90, I would say, at this point. He was born in 1956.
Right.
So.
Is this your research?
Yeah, I'm just reading IMDb.
You're just reading IMDb. Yeah. I thought you were. It sounded like you're reading a fact
from
a website.
That's like what we're going off, right?
I'm sure, yeah.
Tom Hanks, he's an actor, a producer.
I mean, most people know who Tom Hanks is.
Yeah, he's pretty well known. He's been in some really famous stuff.
That's why we're starting with him, right?
Because he's like a household name. Like, everybody knows who Tom Hanks is and has probably seen at least one thing with Tom Hanks.
I would say
in.
Most people have seen, like, at least, like, five Tom Hanks films at the minimum. He's been in so many famous films. So when we thought of the idea of this podcast, we thought, what's a good one to start with?
Mm.
And Tom Hanks, like we said, everyone's seen a Tom Hanks film.
Mm.
It's a good one to start with. He's got a great back catalogue.
He's, like, a really wholesome actor, like...
Yeah. But the main reason it was such a good one for us to start with is about 3 years ago, on a whim, foolish whim, we decided to watch every Tom Hanks film.
Yeah.
For no reason, no podcast, nothing in mind, just, hey, let's watch every Tom Hanks film.
We didn't realise how, like, big his, like, back catalogue was.
Yeah, and how low some of them films got.
Scraping the barrel.
Well, the idea was, we like all these films that we've seen. I'm sure they're all good. And, I mean, there were more hits than misses.
Yeah, for sure.
But because when we decided to do this podcast, we thought, well, why not start with Tom Hanks? We've already seen every one of his films. But don't think that, like, upcoming actors and actresses, we're going to have watched every single one of their films.
No, this is
a one-off.
This is like a one-off to, like, set the foundations. Like, I'd like to think we know our shit about Tom Hanks, but I guess you'll find out.
I mean, we don't really know our shit about anything. We're not professional filmmakers. I mean, we're not professional film critics.
No.
We just watch a lot of films.
Yeah, well, you said to some guy the other day, you watch a film every night, and he couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
365 films a year. No,
but
not quite.
It's not every night. Most nights I watch a film. And I tend to try and watch things I haven't seen before, unless it's a real fave.
But we ticked like loads of the Tom Hanks film off quite quickly. And then there was like a few that we had on our list for ages that were just, it was a bit like hard to watch them.
I think we
just got a bit burnt out. Like,
we front loaded a lot of the good ones as well.
Yeah.
Like, basically what we did is we wrote down Tom Hanks' filmography and ticked all the ones we'd seen.
Mm.
And we had to have both seen them. So anyone that one of us hadn't seen or neither seen, we didn't tick. Mm. And we sort of ticked, we were like, what ones do you fancy watching tonight? We just pick one off the list.
And we didn't watch them in like order of like making either, which was it was like a blessing and a curse, because it was cool because you've got like different films every night, and like when you watch a new Tom Hanks, it could be like from the start of his career or the end of his career. But it also kind of meant that
we picked all the good ones first.
Yeah, and like it would have been nice to see his like career progress, like film after film,
maybe.
And like have a relationship between like the ones you see first and then like the next ones you see after that fact, and see him sort of like, well, basically like grow up like through films. He's been doing it for so long.
He even admits himself that his early films aren't very good, and he's not very good in them.
Yeah, there are some like good moments, I guess.
I read something where he was like, he enjoyed Splash. That was his first film, Splash. Mm. And he enjoyed that, and it's a fun film. But then he was like, didn't make another good film until...
he was in Big, like 4 years later, which is an amazing film. So I guess like the really good ones like peppered throughout his career.
Well, that was the first one that hit at a second, because he was in a lot of films at the beginning of his career.
Yeah.
But he kind of thinks they're all crap. He did Splash, and that's fun. And then he didn't think he did anything good until Big.
Yeah, I mean, he does like two or three films like every year for like consistently for the first like 10 years of his career. Or
he's
something
trying to make
stupid.
It.
Yeah.
But then Big, he was nominated for an Oscar for that performance.
Yeah. I think it's just like a perfect storm, isn't it? When you get like a young actor and then like the right direction and the right storyline and everything just like went right for him on that film, and he just really rode the waves of success like after it.
Big is one of my absolute favorite Tom Hanks films.
Yeah,
it's one of, I love that film. I've seen it so many times. As a kid, I had a VHS of that, which I taped off the telly, and I've seen that so many times. Like, one of the films I've seen the most in my life, but I still love it.
It's just like a really good feel-good movie.
It's what I said to you the other night as well. They don't really make, it's a classic, like, they don't make films like that anymore. But they don't. That sort of like fantasy, light-hearted comedy with like a heart.
Yeah.
There's not many of them now. Like I said, I always relate it to Groundhog Day, which is another one of my faves, where it has like a fantasy element to it.
And they're just like super innocent, and there's no kind of like, I don't know, films always have to like have an underlying purpose or like message or like whatever.
Well, that has got a purpose, Big. Don't grow up before you're ready.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's not a message. But it's good.
I guess I actually, I really like Shazam because it's got a similar feel to Big.
Yeah, I enjoyed Shazam, but I feel like if that film had come out when I was like a kid,
it would have
that would be like my favourite film.
Yeah,
because it's
mind.
I already loved Big, and that's like doing that with superheroes, which is like two things I love.
Yeah.
Especially as a kid, so that would have been all over that. But we're jumping ahead, so we're going on about Big, but let's have a look at the films that Tom Hanks is known for on IMDb. So I'm bringing that up now.
Number one, Castaway.
Okay.
2000.
Yeah, you got whack in that year. Castaway.
Yeah, massive film.
And makes sense. He's basically carries that film on his own.
Yeah, he's like acting like across from a football.
Exactly.
So it's just crazy how...
It's not just any football. That's Wilson. Well done! Do you know what surprises me about Castaway? Every time I watch it, and I've seen that film maybe 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
How much of the film is still to go when he gets off the island?
Yeah, like...
It always throws me. I always think it's the end.
Yeah.
And there's quite a big chunk when he gets back.
Yeah, I'm just looking at like the cast, and it's kind of like...
The Castaway.
I don't know. I don't even remember how... We watched this a while ago. The last time we watched Castaway was a little while ago.
But you've seen Castaway a few times.
Like 2 times, maybe?
Oh, like 2 times.
Yeah.
But do you like that film?
Yeah, it's so super engaging. Like, you're just watching this guy on a beach, basically, like surviving, and kind of, it really reminds me of, what's that book we used to like read at school, where the kids are on the island?
Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, it really reminds me of like solo Lord of the Flies.
I didn't study Lord of the Flies. I'm like the only person who never studied Lord of the Flies.
It's just these kids on like an island.
Yeah, I know the plot. There's a Simpsons episode which is basically a retelling of that plot.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's not as much like that as I remember. I read that when I was like 14.
Yeah, other than surviving on an island.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, crazy how somebody, despite all the odds, he's like a FedEx guy, isn't he? Like he's like a FedEx.
Is that his job, or is he just on a FedEx plane?
I think that's his job. Right, he's okay. Like organizer. Like how, I don't know, would modern day, I guess it depends who you are, but like postman just be able to survive on like a desert island with, you know.
Well, that's what it is. It's a regular guy trying to survive, isn't it?
Yeah. And I guess his like mental kind of attitude towards the whole thing and how he, when he, like he does eventually survive and then how he comes out of it and like, you know, how he's better. How it's changed him, that like series of events.
So when you look at the top four for Hanks, there's not really any curveballs, like we say, because he's been in so many big films.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's
number two's big.
Big, yeah, number two's big. He's been in one big film, but he's been in a lot of successful films, well-known films. And I feel like you could have put any one of like maybe 15 to 20 films he's been in. Any four of those, and you'd be like, oh yeah, they're the ones I expect.
Yeah, of course, like that's a no-brainer.
So we've got Castaway, Big, which we spoke about before.
Yeah.
As a sort of breakout role.
Forrest Gump. And Private Ryan.
And Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
Love Saving Private Ryan.
That's like one of my favourite all-time films.
Is it?
I love war films.
I know, yeah, yeah.
Like, I love...
And that
I
is like the war film.
Yeah.
To me, when I think of war films, that's the one that comes to mind.
Like, all the parts of it are so good. Like, some war films, you're like, oh, I didn't like that. They didn't do that very well. But like... It really is just like great from start to finish.
Well, that opening scene is so like iconic. It's there's not, I mean, it doesn't, it almost like we don't really need to bang on about Saving Private Ryan because so much has been said about it already.
And I feel like I'm not a war expert. I just really enjoy war films. So
you're
not
a war expert?
No, I would assume that like a lot of it is like super accurate and it really shows like throughout
the
whole
thing. Well, they say like a lot of like veterans saw Saving Private Ryan and that, it was too real. Like, it was a bit much. Like,
yeah.
A lot of tears, a lot of, like, struggling to watch because it was too real.
Mm.
Or, like, respect from him because it was so accurate. Like, that's the way it was.
Yeah. But I think we need films like that.
Yeah. And Forrest Gump. Are you a fan of Forrest Gump?
I am, but it's, like, it's not my favourite Tom Hanks. I don't know why. I'm not... It doesn't, like, super resonate with
it's
me.
It's a weird one.
Yeah,
like I do and I don't like it. Like I've seen it so many times, and as a kid when it came out I remember being like, I love this film.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily like Gail when I was that age, and I used to get embarrassed when he touched that girl's boobs. Does it make you cry though?
No.
Of those four films, what's the one that's most likely to make you cry?
Saving Private Ryan.
Really?
Yeah. Just because I get emotionally invested in it.
Yeah. I mean, As sort of like, sort of cynically heartstring pulling as Forrest Gump is, it's probably the one of the four that's most likely to actually make me tear up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of...
Is it just because you're like really like rooting for him?
I guess so. Like, it's a bit troublesome maybe that he's playing someone with a mental illness.
Yeah.
But
I don't know if it would be made today.
But that end where like she dies and he has to raise the kid on his own and he's...
Yeah.
That scene where he goes to her grave, basically. I'm like, that gets me sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I love you, Jenny. That tears me up. Is that a good impression? Do you want me to leave that in?
if you want.
I miss you, Jenny. If there's anything you need, I won't be far away.
So they're the top four, and I think they're a pretty solid top four.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see how much change we have to that by the time we've done to the episode.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, even if we don't change it, there's a good...
There's still
ones to recommend, because that's part of the show as well. Like, you know, we watched this one. This is a really underrated film. Check it out.
It's still really solid top four.
Oh, yeah. If there's no change, I would still be like, great top four.
Yeah, I don't know if we could knock anything out, but definitely some honourable mentions are like Toy Story.
Well, let's go down to his filmography.
Mm.
And we'll go right down to the bottom. Nice. Normally at this time, I'm just going to say, like, we're going to have to gloss over some of these because we can't just talk about every film he's ever done. That's going to get boring. And normally with an episode, we won't have watched every film they've ever done. It'll be like the ones we've seen, plus the ones that people have recommended, plus ones that are notable for whatever reason. With Tom Hanks, it just so happens we've seen every single one of these films. So this part of the show, we would normally say, well, what else did we watch? And sort of go over it. Well, we've watched all of them.
Yeah, I think we'll just pick like the highlights. So, or maybe some to avoid? Nah, just the highlights, I think.
Well, I don't want it to be a negative show.
Yeah. Okay, so he filmed The Man with One Red Shoe in 1985, and this was like the last one that we watched on
It was
list.
The last film that we watched.
Yeah, it was the last Tom Hanks film. Oh, bar Toy Story 4, because that's just come
right,
out.
Right, Toy Story
okay.
4 just came out, we just saw
This
that.
One was the last one on our list, and it was on there for ages, and I don't know why we just kept like running circles around it and like
avoiding
it.
No, I know why.
Why?
I purposely wanted The Man with One Red Shoe to be the last one we watched. Because I didn't know anything about it and the title just seemed so stupid to me.
Okay.
That I was like, whatever happens, that's the last one I'm going to watch.
But actually, like, surprisingly quite hilarious.
Oh, really? You yeah. like that? The only good thing about it was Carrie Fisher was in her underwear.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher did have, like, a fleeting, like, appearance in it. Yeah, it's just so weird. Like, the concept of it, it's just really weird, so...
I noticed in...
It's not great, but it's just
So
bizarre.
You mentioned Splash before.
Yeah.
That was his first film.
Yeah.
I actually really like Splash.
Yeah. Is that the one with the mermaid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daryl Hannah's the mermaid. And yeah. I think Daryl Hannah's pretty great in that as well.
Yeah.
She's, like, perfect in that role.
That is a really weird one as well.
It's weird.
It is weird.
But I like that film. I think there's a lot worse films. Like, he started with not a bad one.
Yeah.
And I think, actually, I was surprised that I just watched that film when I was a kid. And when I watched it fairly recently with you, I was surprised at how well it held up. I still really enjoyed it.
And it's, like, quite well-known as well. Like,
oh, yeah.
Sometimes for, like, first films, it just goes really
A lot
the
of
radar.
It is the fact that everyone fancied Daryl Hannah in that film, I think.
Excuse me, do you know this woman?
Yeah, I do. Just don't ask me what her name is.
Well, we've been trying to tell her that it's closing time, but she doesn't seem to understand.
Yeah, well, that's because she doesn't speak any English at all.
Hello, Alan. How was your day?
Excuse me, I never went to college, but wasn't that English?
Thank you for letting me use your television. It was very educational.
It's all right, miss.
What's your name?
It's hard to say in English.
Well, just say in your language.
All right. My name is...
What else did we like?
But I noticed, sorry, I just noticed you jumped from Splash to Man with One Red Shoe.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't mention the one between that.
Yeah, but we're not dissing films, are we?
I will take a moment to say that was my least favourite film we watched.
Bachelor Party. Bad.
And that has a big fan base. If anyone
really?
Is a big fan of Bachelor Party, fair enough, but I struggled with that film.
Am I thinking it was just really misogynistic?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I can't really remember. I'm trying to put it out of my mind.
Yeah, we watched it when we was in Vienna, that one. So like we said before, he had like a string of failures basically after Splash.
Mm.
Like, I don't think any of them made money. A Bachelor Party, Man with One Red Shoe, which you mentioned, Volunteers, which was a bit of a mess.
Mm.
I like John Candy, but he played that like hoity New England rich boy in that. Kind of a mess. The Money Pit, which I think was a bit of a money pit for the studio. They put money into it thinking it was going to be a big hit, and it was just it's just them getting into slapstick mishaps in a building that's falling apart. Nothing in Common, we watched that near the end, which was all right actually.
Yeah, it wasn't a strong one. Every Time We Say Goodbye, I actually really liked.
Did you?
Yeah.
I thought it was very nothing-y.
It's another like war film kind of though, like you know, he's like a World War II pilot and like in Jerusalem, like falling in love with this girl, and it's kind of like cross, what is it called?
Culture.
Yeah, like
culture clash.
Yeah, like culture clash. I found that interesting.
You like that one? I found it quite forgettable.
For like one of his early ones, yeah.
Yeah. Dragnet, and you mentioned that earlier, so that's kind of a weird film. You didn't like it?
No.
See, it's weird because I spoke to a guy the other day about Tom Hanks, and he was like, yeah, I love Dragnet. That was like the one he brought up. And I was like, really? But, I mean, it was enjoyable. Like, Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd are sort of not a pairing I would have sort of expected, but it was all right. It was all right.
Maybe it's just not my cup of tea.
But Dragnet did actually quite well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that made some money, and then that sort of paved the way for Big, which was, like we said, he was nominated for an Oscar for that performance. I'm just going to get his Oscar nominations up.
We should maybe skip ahead a couple.
But yeah, after Big, and he was nominated for an Oscar for that. And then there is sort of like this sort of run of...
kind of subpar Tom Hanks stuff.
I mean, they're fine.
I feel like we're getting too negative now.
Yeah, but this is the start of his career.
There's
the whole thing is like, so he emerged. Like they're fine. Like, I don't dislike his films. I know you didn't like The Burbs.
Yeah.
I've got a weird history of The Burbs, though. So when I was a kid, I really wanted to watch Apollo 13. Because I thought, oh, space, that'll be fun. I like Tom Hanks. I liked space stuff. And it was on telly. And I made my mum tape it for me off the telly, so I could watch it the next day. And I was so excited to watch Apollo 13. And then I actually found it kind of boring. I like that film now, but as a kid, I was like, oh, this isn't this big space adventure fun thing I thought it would be. Because it's quite dry, that film. But I really like it. But at the time, I found it boring. But at the end of it, mum had left the tape running, and it was a Tom Hanks double bill on telly. So afterwards was The Burbs.
Okay.
And I had no idea what it was, but I remember loving it as a kid. And I would actually always watch The Burbs on that VHS, which was recorded by accident, but you hated it.
Yeah, it's not my...
Again.
Not my bag.
Tom Hanks and Carrie Fisher together in that again.
Okay, I'm going to skip ahead to Sleepless in Seattle.
Right.
Which was a massive film for Tom Hanks.
Sleepless in Seattle, that was the first film we did with Meg Ryan.
Oh, they've got like a bit of a history, like they kind of appear a couple of times.
Yeah,
like,
I think they became pretty good friends... like off the camera as well.
They have good chemistry in this one.
But Sleepless in Seattle is like a classic romantic film, isn't it?
Don't know. I feel like I'm struggling to remember loads of these films because we saw them like over the past like couple of years. So.
I mean, Sleepless in Seattle is a classic.
Yeah.
But I haven't got that much to say about it.
It's not groundbreaking, but like,
it's fine.
I think it's just a milestone in his career. Like, he's opposite Meg Ryan, who was like, fairly successful at that time in her own right. So it's two kind of big names like coming together in this like romantic like drama comedy thing.
But that film, actually, I just want to go back one step. The film before that, you know, we said he had a sort of like spate of sort of not great films again after Big. So Punchline, The Burbs, Turner & Hooch, Joe versus the Volcano, Bonfire of the Vanities. And they're all sort of like, I don't like Bonfire of the Vanities, but the others are like fine. Like, I actually enjoyed all of them, but they're not, none of them are amazing. None of them are faves. But A League of Their Own, which again to me is like, it's all right. But that actually did really well. That's a really fondly remembered film. And that sort of brought his name back into place, which led to Sleepless in Seattle.
Okay.
You know, remember A League of Their Own?
Yes.
He was like the baseball coach.
Yeah, it's got some really great like female actresses.
It's like the female baseball team. But yeah, that his performance in that sort of brought him to the top again, and that's what cast him in Sleepless in Seattle and then Philadelphia.
Straight off the bat. Philadelphia, which was amazing.
Well, Philadelphia, interesting. I've been looking to get to that one. So 1994, nominated again for an Oscar. That was his first win.
Oh, nice.
So he won an Oscar for his performance in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Really well deserved. It's a really good film.
Well, the big thing about that film is it's a really different role for him. Like, it's not
like a
comedy role.
He's
done sort of romancy comedy roles, but that's a dramatic role.
Yeah,
and quite a difficult role to play.
And I suppose for like the time as well, like a really like hard hitting like subject matter.
Yeah.
You know, he gets fired when he contracts HIV and has to, you know, hire a homophobic, like, lawyer because he's the only one he can get to, like, support him in this case. And it's just really, But it's compelling.
Cool drama about a gay guy with a serious illness, which was a real big, hard-hitting issue at that time as well.
Yeah.
Really sort of risky role to take on at that time.
But I think it did him like massive favours, because straight after he did Forrest Gump, again, like
is that straight after?
Yeah, like we touched on earlier, like obviously like another, like portraying another character that has like, you know, mental illness, really tackling some like massive difficult issues. And
but Forrest Gump is quite cartoony.
Yeah,
in comparison, like he invents the Elvis's dance and I guess smiley face and stuff like that. It's a real farce.
It's a totally different look, but again, like for like 94, like kind of looking at some big, the wider picture of not just like I'm a dude falling in love with a girl kind of stuff, which he's known for before, I suppose.
If you look at the trajectory from, okay, so Sleepless in Seattle, big classic romantic film, and Philadelphia, okay, he's wins an Oscar for that. Then all of a sudden it's like every film, it's like you've heard of it. Suddenly he's like a big name.
Oscar
is like cemented him as a big name. So he won Philadelphia. Straight off the bat, Forrest Gump, he won the Oscar again.
Yeah.
Two films in a row that he won Oscar. He hasn't won one since.
Yeah.
But those two in a row, 1994, 1995, best actor, best actor.
Would you consider those two films like peak of his like acting career?
Probably not. That's the thing. It always depends on who you go against, doesn't it?
Do you know what I think? Again, like kind of contextualizing it in that era, like 94, those films are so, I suppose, like groundbreaking and like interesting. Like nowadays, there's way more competition.
Definitely interesting subject matter for the time, which drew more attention to them, especially with a ceremony like the Oscars, where they're looking at
always to be relevant.
Them in sort of intense or different performances.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, then, after Forrest Gump, you got Apollo 13, another big film, Toy Story. They're still making them films now.
I know, 1995, it's crazy that came out in 1995. And even, like, that he was just, like, a voice of Woody in Toy Story, he, like, it's so surprising how much emotion, like, he, like, puts across in that character. And you're watching, like, pixels on the screen, but it's just, like, so heart-wrenching, like, the whole thing.
I love Woody.
Yeah.
Woody reminds me of Kermit the Frog.
Yeah.
The downtrodden leader who's trying to keep everyone together all the time.
Yeah.
And has these sort of anxieties around him. Like Woody and Kermit, there's that archetype that I love. I love Kermit the Frog. And Woody really reminds me of him, yeah.
God, yeah, 95 and the first computer animated like movie.
Do you think it still holds up, that first Toy Story?
Yeah, I think maybe I just look at it with like rose-tinted glasses though, because I was like the right age for it when I watched it.
I will say that watching Toy Story, we watched 1, 2, and 3 sort of back to back, maybe last year. And I will say it's the first time I've watched the first Toy Story in a while, and the first time I've watched it where I thought, this looks kind of dated now. It's suddenly like, I'd never seen it looking old.
Yeah, it's sad though, isn't it? Because I guess,
I mean, it's still completely watchable. It still looks great.
And for the like resources that they had at the time, it was like so fantastic. They did like an incredible like job, and
I mean,
stood the test of time for sure.
Yeah, looking at it, you wouldn't believe it was the first ever computer animated film.
Yeah,
like there are way worse looking animated films that come out since. And story-wise, it's just so classic. And I love, the whole series is great. And I loved 4 as well. We watched 4. 4 came out and everyone was very cynical about it. Oh, it was just unnecessary, blah, blah. I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed 4.
I did feel like 4 was like an addendum kind of to the trilogy.
It felt like an epilogue. Yeah. But in a good way. Like, I didn't think it felt unnecessary. Like, I really enjoyed it.
I feel it's not like, it's not like necessary watching, like you don't have to watch it to like appreciate the first three, but it's cool if you want to see a bit more of their story.
But when we saw it, like you could watch that on its own almost. You could watch and enjoy Toy Story 4 without having seen the previous three. It felt like such a standalone story, but also very rewarding if you'd watched the first three. Never doubt Pixar, because even when you think it's going to be shite, it normally turns out pretty great.
I've just seen what he did after Toy Story.
Yeah, well, I've still got that song in my head.
I know. That Thing You Do is an amazing film. Like, I love it. And it sticks in your head. And, like, I'm still, yeah. Like, it's so good.
I hum that in the shower. Once you get that song in your head, which you're now going to get in your head, because I'm going to play a little clip of it right now. That song, that's written by Fountains of Wayne. Did you know that?
Wow.
Yeah, they wrote that for the film.
It's like, I don't know, like fictional Beatles. But like, sadly, I guess Tom Hanks doesn't have like a massive role in it. He's
well,
like their manager.
No, he doesn't, but he wrote and directed it.
Ah, okay. Amazing. It's really good. It's just really like, I don't know, it encapsulates what I would presume as like that feel of like mid-60s kind of, it's like Beatlemania almost. Like,
I'm just going to check the IMDb score on that. I'm interested to whether that's 9. Like a loved. Really?
Yeah.
It's kind of low. It's like a really enjoyable film. I was surprised at how much I liked that film. I hadn't seen that until we watched through. You'd seen it before, but I had never seen it.
The
and I was surprised
cast
how much
is
I enjoyed
really
it.
Good as well.
The one thing I will say about it was really long.
Yeah.
I think it could have been condensed a little bit.
Maybe that. It's 1:48.
Really? Or maybe it just felt longer when I watched it. That's not a good sign.
I don't know. Like, it just really resonated with me and I loved it. So definitely check it out.
Yeah. Like we say, at this point, it's just like everyone is killer.
Yeah.
Saving Private Ryan.
Which is next. Oh, he had a little break. So like 96. He did some TV and then he came back in 98 with Saving Private Ryan.
Well, and then it's your absolute fave coming up after that.
You've got mail.
You've got mail.
Again, Meg Ryan, like, so
good.
Do
you think, be honest with me, do you think You've Got Mail is a good film?
Yeah. I'd say it's as good as something like That Thing You Do.
Not according to the scores on IMDb.
Oh, not, really?
Yeah. But
maybe I'm just like super nostalgic about it.
I'll be honest.
Okay, so only like 3 points off. Come on.
I was waiting for you to look. I'll be honest. I don't know how well beloved You've Got Mail is or how much people like that film. It's obviously not the sort of film that I would normally be into.
Okay, so, right, IMDb rating 6.9 out of 10 for That Thing You Do.
Yeah.
With just over 57,000 ratings.
Right.
You've Got Mail.
Yeah.
6.6 on IMDb with 178,000 ratings.
So more people have seen it.
So more people have seen You've Got Mail and more people have like offered their opinion up on IMDb for it. So I think it's well, like far more like well-known film and more like widespread.
What I was going to say is it's not necessarily the sort of film that people would associate me watching, right? I actually quite enjoy it. I don't mind it at all. I've seen it probably like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
And it's fine. Like, I can watch it again. It's fine. It's very watchable.
It's a real, like, I don't know.
It's a product of its time.
One of those, like, original chick flicks, I suppose.
Could, I don't know if, like, my younger brothers could watch it and know what the hell was going on.
Yeah, but it just, like,
in terms of just, like, the way the internet worked and the waiting for emails and shit.
It encapsulates that, like, feeling of, like, sometimes you're not connected to the internet and like you have to rush home and like check MSN or like check your emails.
No, check AOL.
AOL, yeah, exactly. You've got like, you don't know what's going on when you're not at your computer. And like, I think growing up with the internet, having an understanding of that, like personally, that's why it like resonates with me. And like, yeah, I wasn't there. I suppose.
Do you remember life before the internet?
Well, yeah, I was like a kid.
So do
like,
I.
You
that's
don't
what
have
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying because you remember it.
Yeah. And I think that exciting feeling, like getting a message from someone you like fancied or whatever, was like such like a thrill.
You
like,
remember that?
Yeah.
You remember getting emails from boys and being like, ooh.
I didn't, it wasn't emails, it was more like MSN and all those like cryptic MSN like usernames and stuff you used to put. I don't know. But I think, yeah, it encapsulates the internet at a time and in in a really nice way, like using it, like it actually aids the storyline. It's not like a hindrance.
It's a very like wholesome film.
Yeah. But isn't she like, she's like a bookseller and stuff as well.
Yeah, she's an independent bookstore
owner.
And he's like
bigwig
in like the big chain store.
Yeah. But he comes to realize that there's like value in,
but is that going up in your estimate? Like, is that going to be anywhere near your top four?
Like, I don't think it deserves to be in like the top four, but it's like, I don't know, if you are looking for like a nice, like watchable chick flick that is like on the cusp of like internet kind of stuff, I guess this one's like exactly what you're looking for then.
I realise while we've been recording, we should have been using our notebooks. I haven't been doing it because I've been wrapped in conversation.
Mm.
But we're supposed to be sort of, as we go, we're supposed to be making notes of like, oh, what would, oh, there, that one might be in my top four. So at the end, you're not going to scroll through the whole of IMDb again, trying to like, work out what your top four is.
Well, we can do that on episode 2.
Yeah. Or ones that you want to make an extra note. Because at the end, you'll be like, okay, between us, what we're going to, we work it out together. But also, like, I think this is worth a watch, but I wouldn't put in top four sort of thing.
Okay. So, yeah. Then what else? Toy Story 2 was, like, really quick succession after You've Got Mail.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the then, Toy Story films we sort of covered, they're, like, they sort of are a piece to me, like, a whole thing.
They
like,
are
if you watch one
entity.
And enjoy it, you work to yourself to watch the whole series.
Then, he did Green Mile in 1999.
Green Mile is absolutely fantastic.
Mm.
I won't have anyone who doesn't like it. I won't take it. No, I love that film. I love the Green Mile.
It's, yeah, it's definitely an amazing movie. And if you haven't seen it, seek it out.
Does it make you cry?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not an uplifting film.
It's just so emotional. And the way they filmed it was like, amazing.
Read the book, like I read a lot of Stephen King books, and his adaptations aren't always great. The adaptations of his books, but that nails it, like, to me, that I would actually say I enjoy the film more than the book. And maybe that is because the film is so long, like it doesn't necessarily scooch over anything. Most of it is in there. But yeah, amazing casting, great film.
Yeah.
I'm tired, boss. I'm tired of being on the road, lonely as a sparrow in the rain. I'm tired of never having me a buddy to be with, to tell me where we's going to, coming from, or why. Mostly I'm tired of people being ugly to each other. I'm tired of all the pain I feel and hear in the world every day. There's too much of it. It's like pieces of glass in my head all the time. Can you understand? Yes, John, I think I can.
Like I said before, I feel like I'm just repeating myself in terms of just like they're amazing, because the next two films after the next three films. Okay, so sorry, You've Got Mail, Toy Story 2, then you've got The Green Mile, Castaway, Road to Perdition, and Catch Me If You Can.
Mm.
I love all of those films.
Yeah,
and that is like a golden period in his career for me.
Yeah. Yeah, Road. Let's talk about. We already sort of spoke about Castaway because it's in the top four. So, like, Road to Perdition.
I think Road to Perdition is a criminally overlooked film of his.
Yeah.
And it's weird because every time I mention it to someone that they've seen it, they go, oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
And then it's just totally forgotten every time.
I don't know why it went so, like, under the radar. It's just such a really good, like, noir, like, kind of.
I just love any. That, like, whenever you have a relationship film where it's like the guy and the kid, like Leon,
or like, no, I was gonna say Batman, but not Batman,
or Batman and Robin,
no, like, I guess Batman, but when he's not with his dad that much, you don't see his dad do that much.
No, his dad dies at the beginning of every Batman film,
my bad,
time and time again. Okay. His parents get murdered,
scratch that, Leon. Yeah, like,
yeah, that sort of like Leon, like the guy, the protector. Yeah. It's like a cliche that I'm always down for.
Mm.
It always like plays on your heartstrings. It's like a good episode of The Simpsons, like a Homer and Lisa episode of The Simpsons.
Mm.
They're always like my favourites.
But it's like wrong place, wrong time. You know, you feel so like enthralled in their story, yeah. And like they're just, yeah.
And the thing is, it's one of them films I'm glad I watched again, because the first time I ever watched Road to Perdition, you know when you just watch a film and you're not in the mood for it, and it can sully your experience of it. I remember totally not being up for watching it, and we watched it anyway. I wasn't with you, and I was with a friend, and he loves that film, and he was like, yeah, let's watch it, and I wasn't really in the mood, and it sort of glossed over me, and I wasn't really paying attention, and always just thought that's a boring film. But I've seen it twice since then, I think, and I remember watching it again and just being like, oh God, what was I thinking? Like, it makes me wonder how many films I've written off in the past actually turn out to be fantastic films.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And then after that, another, like, this is one of my fave films. Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah, it's great.
As much as I love it though, I wouldn't go for bat for it to be in the top four.
Oh, really?
For Tom Hanks.
How come? Because it's more about...
It's a Leo film.
Leo, yeah.
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 If someone said to me, what's your top four Leonardo DiCaprio films? That's going right up there.
Yeah.
For Tom Hanks, because it's not his film, it doesn't feel like it shouldn't be there, but even so...
It's definite notable mention. Like, it's an amazing film. Like, it's so cleverly filmed and directed, and like, you're just hanging on every scene.
It's just so watchable. It's so enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
It's one of my absolute favorite Spielberg films.
Yeah.
And I think it gets forgotten as a Spielberg film because he's had such massive films.
And also, it feels when you're watching it like super lighthearted and like kind of fun and like. It's not edgy or anything like that. It's just super watchable. And I think that's maybe why, because it's not... It's, like, not one way or the other. It's not, like, hard-hitting.
No. But following Catch Me If You Can...
Yeah.
This is when we got a bit of a lull again.
Okay.
Because you got The Lady Killers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not... I like the Coen brothers.
Mm.
I don't love the Coen brothers as much as some people. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a big fan of the Coen brothers' comedies. And I'm definitely not a big fan of The Lady Killers. I've watched that film twice. And I know I said Bachelor Party might be my least favorite Tom Hanks films, but Lady Killers is really in the running for it.
I have a real soft spot for The Terminal.
It's
like,
not a great
It's not
film.
Great, but I just kind of like, it's a guilty pleasure. Like, I just really like it.
It's got a lot of people I like in it.
Yeah.
It's got, what's her name? Zoe Saldana.
Mm.
I like her. She's great.
It's just fun. And I like it, I think, because it is such a weird storyline. Some guy's country.
What about his dodgy accent?
Oh, yeah.
You have to get over with and just ignore it.
I guess because he comes from like a fictional country. It's not as like terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, try to repeat exactly what she said.
Itchit. She. Catch him.
So. Oh, he cheats.
Yes. What we call cross-catch.
We say kreska. Uh-huh. One man, uh-huh. Two women. Uh-huh. So, crowded, you know.
And then he just has to spend all this time in an airport. If you've ever spent loads of time in an airport, you probably hate it.
Yeah, but if you haven't spent as much time as he spent in the airport.
Yeah.
Can we take a moment to talk about the Polar Express?
It's horrific.
My mum likes that film.
Really? Yeah. It's honestly, like, terrifying. Like, the animation in it. Gives me the creeps, like, super gives me the creeps.
It's where stylization comes into play.
Yeah.
Because that looks way worse than Toy Story.
Design direction. Yeah, this is literally almost 10 years after Toy Story, and honestly, it doesn't hold up. It's so bad. Like, it's not the acting.
So many weird design decisions.
It's the design and, like, the look of it. And it's too, like, realistic, and they didn't have, I don't know, maybe they didn't have, like, the resources to put into it.
I think they did. So they did the best they could. When that came out, people were like, this is groundbreaking.
I just find
people like, it's too real when it comes.
Humanoid elves, like, super creepy.
They're disgusting.
Yeah.
They're absolutely disgusting. I don't like the kids being voiced by adults. I can tell it's an adult doing a kid
voice.
The concept,
though, is like Tom Hanks' character plays like every adult in the film.
Yeah.
Which is a really interesting concept. Like, super interesting for, like, have one adult to play all of, like, the adult figures in a film. It's just really let down by the animation style. And that's... We're going to move on, Hank.
Yeah, I don't want to talk much about Polar Express. I only watched it for the first time like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'd never seen it.
Mm. So next one is Da Vinci Code.
Da Vinci Code, another one which people aren't big fans of. People don't... Mm-hmm. People them Ron Howard, Robert Langdon films, people aren't big on.
Okay, so
that's the best one of the three.
I read... It came out in like 2006 and I probably read The Da Vinci Code like around that time.
Right.
Like when I was like... a teenager, and I loved it. It was like loved it. It was just exactly the right time for me to read that book. It was like, oh my god, conspiracy theories, like about all that stuff.
I know some people think that book is kind of trashy.
Yeah, but I was like 15, 16, and it was like totally resonated with me at that time.
Well, because you were surprised when we looked at our Tom Hanks list, and I was like, oh, I've never seen the Da Vinci Code, and you were kind of shocked that I hadn't seen it.
Yeah,
and then we sort of sat down and watched the whole Robert Langdon trilogy.
Yeah. It's so annoying. I think, like, again, like, when I was, like, 15, 16, having such, like, an affinity with the book and just being like, this is, like, mind-blowing. And then the film was, like, fell a little bit short of, like, those expectations.
Honestly, those films aren't as bad as people say.
Yeah, no.
But they're not good
either. But they're not amazing, yeah. 6.6 on IMDb is actually, like, pretty good for that film, I'd say.
It's about right.
But I kind of love anything like...
I mean, they always have interesting secondary characters in them.
Yeah.
Like, Audrey Tautou was in the first one. You got Ewan McGregor in that second one.
I do love Audrey Tautou.
Good. And what's her name? Felicity, whatever her name is in the third one.
Don't know.
Jyn Erso.
Oh, yeah.
Felicity Jones? Felicity something.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they have, yeah, but...
okay, whatever. Charlie Wilson's War
is a really good film.
Yeah.
It's a good film.
It's interesting... like super relevant at the time. It came out in like 2007.
Charlie Wilson's War, I really like it. Really good cast, but it's nothing like groundbreaking.
Yeah.
It's just a really solid film. Like I actually recommend people watch that all the time because it's one that a lot of people haven't seen.
It's a good like biography, like political kind of drama. Yeah.
And I'll watch anything that's got Philip Seymour Hoffman in, especially alongside Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
So.
And like, real careful Julia Roberts.
Yeah. Who's, I've actually realised... is pretty great recently. I've watched a few films with her in and I'm like, she's a lot better than I think a lot of people give her credit for.
Yeah, like super underrated stuff.
It was covert, remember? This is what we always do. We always go in with our ideals and we change the world. And then we leave. We always leave. But that ball, though, it keeps on bouncing.
What?
The ball keeps on bouncing.
Yeah, we're a little busy right now reorganizing Eastern Europe, don't you think?
We've spent billions. Let's spend a million on HR-118 and rebuild a school.
Charlie, nobody gives a shit about a school in Pakistan.
Afghanistan.
So, yeah, like we said, he did the Robert Langdon films. There's more Toy Story stuff coming out, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to jump forward a little bit to I'd like to know what you thought of this one. Larry Crown.
Let me just...
You're going to have to click on it to remember it, I think.
He goes back to college. Who's in this? Oh, it's him and Julia Roberts again.
Yeah.
I'm just going to... Talking to Julia Roberts. So I can, like, remind myself. I can't remember this one at all. I do remember this.
It's not very memorable.
Yeah, Larry Crown. It's quite endearing. I actually liked it.
Did you?
It's not an amazing film, like groundbreaking or like heart-wrenching or whatever, but it's kind of real. Like, this guy just gets stuck in a rut. Like, he gets sacked from his job. He gets, like, made redundant.
He goes back to college.
Yeah, he goes back to college.
It's kind of like my life.
He, like, reinvents himself. And, like, I have respect for that.
The reason I wanted to ask what you thought of it is because it totally bombed.
Really?
It was an absolute bomb. Like, one of the biggest failures of the year when it came out.
Oh.
And it was written and directed by him.
It's got a 6.1.
I mean, it's pretty forgettable.
Yeah. Like I said...
It's not terrible. It's not worth the bomb, but it's not, like... I wouldn't even be like, you got to watch... Like, you got to check it out. It's a hidden gem. It's just like...
Yeah. Good feel-good movie.
But, yeah, written and directed by him. So I just thought it was interesting that, like... Because he wrote and directed That Thing You Do, and he had a small part in it. But this one, he was the main character, and he wrote and directed it.
Do you think he... It was a massive bomb. Struggled, like, because he was the main part instead of just, like,
No, I just think there's not much to the story.
Right.
There's not much to it.
Yeah.
People were saying at the time, is it because they're, like, older? Like, people don't want to watch, like, older Tom Hanks and older Julia Roberts, and there's no place. But, no, I think they're both... both those actors. Like, it's not about that. I just think it's didn't grab anyone. It wasn't very interesting.
I think maybe the storyline was just a bit, like, kind of wishy-washy. It was just like, yeah, this just guy, like, living his life, kind of. It's not, like, you know, political or... It doesn't pull in one way or the other. Do you know what I mean?
It's not big. Like, I think a lot of people expect something very big with Tom Hanks films because he's such a big actor. Or something very emotionally engaging, even. Because even, like, you look forward to a few films, like Captain Phillips is a biography.
Yeah.
And that's not a big film, but it's very emotionally engaging.
Yeah, and it's you about, sort of like, want that from tragedy him. And overcoming, like, adversity.
Yeah,
and
you want that from him. So when he does them sort of Larry Crown, it's fine. Same with Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
It's
fine. Fine. I've read that book. It's fine.
How do you feel about Cloud Atlas?
Cloud Atlas, I was glad you asked. I fucking love Cloud Atlas.
Really?
I think it's absolutely fantastic, and it upsets me that no one else seems to like it. Everyone in it is like, it's like a tour de force of amazing performances of just like, everyone's got to play a million characters, and some of them are fucking ridiculous. I get that it's tonally all over the place, but that's the idea.
It's massive conceptually, though, so maybe, do you think that's why people didn't really get on with it, because like...
I think people find it meandering and nonsensical, but...
7.4 on IMDb, though.
I love that film. I love Tom Hanks in it.
It's almost got 3 hours, which is like a really tough like amount of time. Well,
especially
to
there isn't one continuous storyline. You're just jumping around all over the place for 3 hours. But yeah.
Am I right in thinking that it's like a set cast and they all play different characters within different time universe?
Yeah, every storyline has the same actors but playing different characters.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're playing women or men or older people or younger people.
It's super conceptual.
I mean, I'll watch Jim Broadbent have hijinks in an old people's home. The most, like, ridiculous part of that film.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a lot of people I like in it as well, so maybe that helps it for me. But I think it's a criminally overlooked film. I love...
Talking, like, you just touched on Captain Phillips, which was, like, the next, like, big one, 2013.
Sorry, I'm just still looking at... I've got wrapped up now in Cloud Atlas. Just looking at some of the cast. So Tom Hanks plays 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 characters in that one film.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Halle Berry plays loads of characters.
Do you think all the actors and actresses do the characters like justice, or is there any point where like they fall a bit short and they're like, that scene was like a bit flat?
I was just so on board for it that I was just like, even ones that maybe weren't as good, they were so good. Like Hugo Weaving, Jim Broadbent.
Yeah.
Like James Darcy was really good in it. I love that film. Hugh Grant was really good in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, go watch Cloud Atlas.
Captain Phillips, really good. Like,
again,
definitely made me cry. Like, it was so emotional.
It's a good film. Good film. When he gets, I will say that's, I'm actually thinking about it now. I was about to like sort of gloss over Captain Phillips a bit, but when he gets off that boat at the end,
yeah,
and he's being helped by like the nurse.
Yeah.
That bit did make me cry.
Oh, man.
Big time. And when I think about it, it makes me cry. And when I spoke to my friend Jibs about it, he said he cried in the cinema at that bit.
Mm. And it's like a, you know, it's a true story. Like,
he can't, he can't believe he made it off that boat.
Yeah.
You know, he can't believe it. And when she's like, hand him a towel, and he's like, thank you. His like voice is like flaking as she, oh, and man.
It's just so like such a unfathomable situation, like being held hostage, like gives me the creeps, like the whole thing. Yeah, it's really like emotional.
There you go. Very good. Captain, you're safe now, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Does my family know?
Your family knows you're safe, and you will be able to call them as soon as you are taken care of.
And a super interesting and, you know, real story.
Save Mr. Banks, I can take or leave. Bridge of Spies is
fantastic.
A really underrated Spielberg movie.
So good.
I know. I was waiting to get that because I know you really, really like the film.
Yeah. Oh my god. Like Soviet spy stuff. Oh,
that's
man.
Your jam, right?
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah, even all the crappy like spy films, I still watch them. But this one's like creme de la creme spy film.
This is
film.
Great. You can't go wrong. I mean, even The Terminal, which is a pair up that I've done before, but when you get Spielberg and Hanks together, it normally is a watchable film.
Yeah.
And I think Bridge of Spies got a bit overlooked because it's quite slow.
Yeah, but that's
normally,
what makes it
like,
great.
Normally, like Spielberg and Tom Hanks, when you put them together, it's like a bigger film or like a more whimsical film, whatever. This is quite a slow film, but it's fantastically made film, really good film.
It is biographical, isn't it? Yeah, it's just amazing. I'm gonna watch the trailer again.
Something important has come up.
We've got a Soviet spy.
But there's a wrinkle.
They got our spy pilot. Or the head full of classified information. The Russians want their man back before he cracks. We want you to negotiate the swap.
I'm an insurance lawyer. I'm not sure I want to pick that up.
Are you good at what you do?
This will be a first for the both of us.
You should be careful.
I'm talking to you about the security of your country.
Why aren't we hanging him? He's a spy!
You're asking me to violate the Constitution.
Do you know how people will look at us? The family of a man trying to free a traitor?
Everyone deserves a defense. Every person matters.
So good.
Good film. We had to pause there for Becca to watch the trailer for Bridge of Spies.
Oh, I just love it so much. Like, Cold War, like, Berlin, like, amazing. And the whole, cultural opposite American kind of guy trying to work out what the hell's happening over there. And everything's, like, kind of coded. Like, it's just like a minefield of kind of emotional and... Not emotional. What am I trying to say?
You're getting emotional.
It's a minefield of like psychological stuff, like playing off each other, like who's doing what.
Standoff,
like,
isn't it?
Yeah, and like how is he going to play it? And he's got, it's just really good.
So you like Bridge of Spies?
I do.
I feel like you're getting as excited about Bridge of Spies as I was about Cloud Atlas.
Yeah. Amazing. Hologram for the King?
Yeah. Oh, Hologram for the King. Well, we're skipping over Ithaca, which has not really got a lot to say about it. He's barely in it. Meg Ryan's sort of directorial debut, and he's sort of, like I said, they're friends off the camera, so he helped her out a bit. But
I feel like he felt obligated to...
A little bit, maybe. It's not a great film. Hologram for the King.
I think it's a real underdog. Like, I found it really interesting.
I just want to say, like, earlier on the show, we said about how there was a few that sat on our list for a long time.
Yeah.
Because we watched all the good ones first, and then we had this, like, backlog we had to sort of slog through at the end. And in amongst that was Hologram for the King, because we thought this is going to be a stinker. Based on some reviews we'd read and what we'd looked up about it.
Yeah.
And I think of the last batch we watched, it was the one we were most pleasantly surprised by.
Yeah, for sure.
Really overlooked. Interesting setting, like over Saudi Arabia setting.
I think I just really love films with like cultural perspective.
Yeah, I really enjoy that.
And like, obviously again, Tom Hanks plays like an American sales rep in Saudi Arabia, and the way that he interacts in that situation I found like really interesting. Same thing with Richard Pryce, you know, American guy in Berlin, like interacting in that environment, super interesting. I just like really love like that cultural like juxtaposition, I suppose.
I think Hologram for the King is like, I don't know anyone that's seen that film.
No.
I don't know anyone that's seen it. I'd never hear it mentioned. I think
I
it's, not gonna be
any,
it's not going to be anyone's favourite film.
Mm.
And it's not like an incredible film. But I think it's worth a watch. Like,
yeah,
I think it's really worth a watch.
It's a really interesting curveball. And yeah, didn't really know a lot about Saudi Arabia before I watched it. And it's really interesting to learn about it. And like the... I'm sure it doesn't cover all of their...
No, it might not even be fully accurate, but it's always fun watching like fish out of water stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Now, I know you liked the next one as well.
What's that? Sully.
Yeah.
Miracle on the Hudson.
Which is another sort of overlooked film. I actually really liked it. I really liked Sully. But again, it's no one's going to be anyone's favourite, but it's
biographical,
it's a good film.
It's about a biographical pilot who like landed this plane on the Hudson River.
Yeah.
And yeah, again, just like
it's about the event, but it's more about the court case that followed it.
Oh,
about
yeah.
like whether he should
who's
have done.
Who's where's the blame?
Yeah, should he have taken? Because that's not what he should have done. But actually, doing that saved everyone's life.
Yeah.
So
he
was
went
it a
against,
good call or not?
Yeah, he went like against protocol, but actually, it turned out all right in the end.
Yeah, yeah. But good film, good film. Not
yeah.
like not incredible, but worth a watch. Inferno. It's probably the weakest of the rated, the weakest of the Langdon films.
Yeah.
Pretty forgettable. The Circle, I don't like seeing Tom Hanks play a villain.
Yeah. That was really like
it was like a really
weird.
Shit episode of Black Mirror. Sorry, I don't want to be negative on the show, but The Circle was a real mess.
I don't know, it's just not very
ending sucked.
He doesn't suit being a villain very well. And I just thought like the plot and stuff was a little bit I mean, the concept was interesting, but I think it just fell short of, like, what they intended for the film.
Yeah. And then we're caught up. We got The Post.
That was amazing.
Which you really liked.
Yeah.
Again, I take or leave The Post. I thought it was fun. It was a good film.
Mm, I really liked it. I just really like that kind of sort of historical, like, drama, though.
Yeah.
That's just
anything that's like biographical, I feel like you're on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like a biography.
And also like, yeah, it's just like the historical context of the film.
I've also the ending of it, which sort of hinted at the events that followed with like the Watergate scandal and everything. It made me just want to watch that film.
Yeah.
I really just I want Spielberg to do a follow up film which is about Watergate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Post 2.
Yeah.
And then finally Toy Story 4, which we've already sort of spoke about. So that whole section of the podcast was super long because we watched every Tom Hanks film and we didn't have time to talk about everyone in detail, but we just wanted to sort of
just
blitz
touch on
them.
Yeah, touch on like a couple of notable ones and maybe some that like you should probably check out if they float your boat.
Yeah, I mean normally we won't have watched that many. Well, we definitely won't watch that many films on other episodes. But so we might have time to talk about the films a little bit more in depth in future episodes. Going back to where we started, the four films he's known for: Castaway, Big, Forrest Gump, Saving Private Ryan.
Okay.
Do you think that's a good summation of his career and like what he should be known for? Or do you think there's anything that could be substituted there?
I definitely think like they're a really good shout across the board.
Yeah.
Like it shows his like breadth and depth of his like acting capabilities and just where like perfect storm, everything's come together and it's like been an amazing performance.
Mm-hmm.
My top four... would look different.
But is when you say your top four, are you talking about your favourite films or what you think he should be known for?
My favourite films, probably.
Right, so that's different.
Okay, should we do favourites?
Well, first of all, tell me your favourites then.
Okay, so my favourites coming, like, because I just love, like, historical dramas.
Mm-hmm.
The Post.
Oh, okay. Wow. It's a really, really new one. I didn't think you was going to chuck that one in there. Okay.
And my ultimate, like, Tom Hanks film... alongside Saving Private Ryan, which I also love and I definitely think deserves to be in the top four, is Bridge of Spies.
Wow. I'm really shocked by that.
Really?
Yeah. Because they're both fairly modernish films.
Yeah.
So you're What if you were to put your top four Tom Hanks films, your favourites?
I'd probably take out my top four.
Yeah, your favourite top four.
I'd probably keep in Saving Private Ryan, British Spies, The Post, and I would chuck in Catch Me If You Can.
Wow, okay.
Because I think it's just a really good film. Mm-hmm. Even though it's a very Leo film, he's still good in it. Like, Tom's still really good in it. Or if not Catch Me If You Can, Green Mile.
Right.
Or Apollo 13.
Oh, you're chucking all of them in there. We didn't really talk about Apollo 13, but Apollo 13 really, really, again, it's that bit Bridge of Spies-y. Like, it's slow, historical, biographical. Mm-hmm. I like those films. Think, they're not for everyone, but I like those films.
Green Mile, just because it's like super,
it's an epic. You sit
like
and you watch
on,
it.
It's like on the cusp. Yeah. I think of this, like, I'd probably take out.
I would switch it for Forrest Gump, to be honest.
Yeah, I was about to say the same. But then the thing is, like, if you do that, then I feel like a lot of the known for top four are like really quite similar, because you've got Castaway, Saving Private Ryan, and then Green Mile, which have like a real similar vibe, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then the only kind of like outsider would be Big.
I would be really tempted to put known for again, not my personal top four. I really feel like Toy Story should be in his known for.
Yeah. Well, how do you do that, though? Because he's known for, like, well, now, four Toy Story films.
Well, just Toy Story 1. Mm. And then follow from there. Like, honestly, now, as much as I love Big, and it's one of my favourite films, I honestly think he should be more known for Toy Story.
Yeah.
So even though Big is one of my favourite films, I'd be, like, happy to replace Big with Toy Story.
So what are your faves, then?
My faves are... Big. Love Big.
Yeah.
Green Mile.
Yeah.
Probably would say Saving Private Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be tempted to put in Road to Perdition.
Okay.
That's my other four. I really love that film.
Cool.
So that'll probably be my top four.
Okay.
Yeah. Big, Saving Private Ryan, Road to Perdition, Green Mile.
So we're definitely both in agreement with Green Mile, then.
Yeah.
So what is Tom Hanks's alternative known for?
Okay. Are we keeping Saving Private Ryan?
Yeah.
Are we keeping Castaway?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't in either of ours, but he is basically carrying that film on his own.
Yeah. It's just quintessential, like, Tom Hanks at his best, I think.
And then what are we doing for the lighthearted film? We switch in Big for Toy Story as a known for?
I think, yeah. Like, Toy Story, definitely, because it's like a, when was it? It's like a 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And how can, like, it spans generations, and it's also like kids and adults. I would really struggle to find somebody who didn't know Toy Story.
So that leaves one more spot, which is currently taken up by Forrest Gump. Are we leaving it, or are we whacking Green Mile in there?
I think, like, again, it's very like top heavy if you add Green Mile in there, but I really think. I think more people know him for Forrest Gump than Green Mile.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I don't know.
But it's not what they know for, it's what he should be known for.
Right, be known for.
This is what IMDb is saying that he is known for.
Okay, yeah.
Do we agree, or do we think he should be known for something
else? I think, yes, he should be known for Green Mile more. So, yeah.
So we're making a slight change.
I'm cutting it.
So we're ending with our these are the films Tom Hanks should be known for. Top four, Toy Story, Castaway, Saving Private Ryan, and The Green Mile.
Yeah. Boom.
Cut and shut. I know you said your favourites, but are there any sort of like ones that you want to say to listeners? Like, check this out.
Yeah, I'd say Bridge of Spies.
Bridge of Spies? You think it's overlooked?
Yeah, if you haven't seen it. Also, like, You've Got Mail, if you haven't seen
really?
It. Yeah, like, weirdly, it's just such like a generational like thing.
Yeah.
How about you?
For me, check out Road to Perdition if you haven't seen it. Mm. Again, it gets overlooked. One of my absolute favourite Tom Hanks. Cloud Atlas, it's not for everyone, but if you like it, you'll love it. I've recommended that to people and they've been like, I couldn't even finish it. And I've recommended it to other people and they've been like, this is a fucking masterpiece.
Mm.
So
it's a super Marmite.
Yeah, yeah. Film. And for a modern one, if you haven't seen it, check out Hologram for the King.
Yeah.
You might be surprised. It's not like an award-winning film, but
it's like good, easy watching, like, and it's a really interesting, like, untapped perspective on the world.
So while we were going through the show, we mentioned he was nominated for an Oscar for Big, Best Actor, and he won for Philadelphia and Forrest Gump.
Mm.
Like we said, neither of them ended up on our top four, and they're the ones he won for.
Yeah.
Which shows, we said at the time, I wouldn't say they're his best films. And they're not. Like, they're not. He has done better things.
Do you think they're just up there because of the Oscar things? Like, is it just like
maybe
a default? Like, if you win an Oscar, it's in your known for.
Yeah. Saving Private Ryan, he was nominated but didn't win.
Wow.
Didn't mention that show. And he was also nominated for Castaway but didn't win.
Huh.
And that's the last time he's been nominated, 2001.
Wow.
It's been a long time.
Good stuff since
then. So let's see if he can bring it up. He's got some more films in the works at the moment. Mm-hmm. I can't see him retiring anytime soon. He's working,
at least 6 or 7 things coming up. Yeah. So, yeah. An amazing, amazing actor. And it
amazing
was like
career.
Super enjoyable to go through all of the highs and lows of his acting career to date. Yeah, really looking forward to other stuff he's coming out. So
yeah, I always watch his films when they come out. Sort of 9 times out of 10, you're going to enjoy his films.
I think he's just a really well-rounded, like, beloved actor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's done some really amazing performances.
And the perfect one to start the show with.
Yay.
So this is a little bit off the cuff. We sort of just hit record and went. So we're just still trying to work out the format. And we're not always just going to be running through a list of IMDb films. For this one, we kind of had to cram it all through because we've watched every single one. Normally,
hopefully we'll get in a bit more in depth, like with a more intimate with like the one, because we'll have seen less films.
Yeah.
We'll be able to go in more depth in like the next kind of like coming up things we focus on.
So the regular format will be when we have an actor or an actress,
mm-hmm.
we'll have, obviously, whoever we pick, we've seen some of their films. That's why we're covering them. And then we'd love people to get in contact and say, check this one out. This is a real hidden gem. Like, we want to watch some that are like sort of, this one needs more life, more of a spotlight.
Like an underdog.
We can't watch the whole filmography, but we want to watch them, the ones they're known for.
And the ones
that
recommend.
People recommend. Mm. If they've been nominated for an award for something, it's worth checking out.
Mm-hmm.
Any notorious sort of performances.
Or like stuff that you think shaped their career. Maybe it's not like, it's like, oh, you know, this one made them really get into this genre or something like that.
So what we've done this time around for the first month is we decided Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
And then we thought, okay, what actress can we choose to go alongside Tom Hanks, who's had a really long career?
Mm-hmm. So if you haven't seen The Post, definitely watch it, because our next actor is Meryl Streep.
Chose Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
And Becca suggested Meryl Streep. And we sort of were chucking a few names around and we thought, she's been in it a long time. She matches up to Tom Hanks and like people have seen a lot of her films.
Her caliber.
But I personally haven't seen that many Meryl Streep films. So we've had a big back catalogue because she's been nominated for a lot of awards and we wanted to watch some of her performances.
Yeah, like I've seen a few more than you, I think, of like Meryl Streep's performances. But actually getting her filmography kind of up and close has been really, really,
really
cool.
Varied as well. So it's going to be interesting for us to talk about Meryl Streep in 2 weeks' time.
Mm.
Hopefully you'll enjoy that as well. But how the show will work going forward from that is me and Becca are going to take it in turns to choose a month. So whoever goes first, they choose an actor and an actress.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other person goes and they choose an actor and actress for the month after. But none of us have gone yet because we decided these between us.
So next time we'll have to flip a coin.
So we're going to have to flip a coin. So just to see who goes first. So have you got some names in mind for your first month in case you win this?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, let me go grab a coin then.
Oh, okay.
Got one here. A nice dirty brown 2p coin.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to flip this.
Okay. So this is to see who's going
This is to see who's
next.
Going first.
Right, okay.
Right?
Cool.
So heads or tails?
Tails.
It's tails. You're going first.
Oh, my lord. Right, okay. So I have got a big list. I'm just going to pick at random.
Just to clarify for listeners, so this month it's Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep. And we always want to sort of announce the next month in advance so that if there's any that you want to watch, or more importantly, if you want to suggest any to us of these actors and actresses that we choose, that we, like sort of hidden gems, really would love to hear your suggestions of what we should check out.
Mm.
So for next month, Becca is going to be choosing the actor and the actress, and they are going to be...
So I'm going for... This is really hard. I've got loads, but it's like... Do they have a big like back catalogue enough?
Well, we don't want too big a back catalogue, so I've got time.
Yeah.
I already chose mine in case I'd won today. But
I'm going for Sam Rockwell.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, he's great. And I'm going to go for Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett. That's a long one. That's a lot of watching.
Because she's great.
I love Cate Blanchett.
And they're like, I don't know. I did pick those. I've got a big list, but I sort of pick those randomly. But I know that they've got like quite a amazing back catalogue between
they are
them. So.
Definitely not the two I was going to choose.
Yeah.
But I'm super happy because that's literally one of my favourite actors and one of my favourite actresses. So I'm really on board for that.
Awesome.
Okay. And I will say that we always just have a look quickly before we wrap up at what the known for top four for our next episode is.
Mm-hmm.
So we said we're covering Meryl Streep. Her top four,
mm-hmm.
so we can just have a look at this, are... I swear this has changed since we last looked.
Really? Out of Africa.
Out of Africa.
Devil Wears Prada.
The Devil Wears Prada.
August Assange County. And Julie and Julia. Why are you repeating me?
I don't know. Last time I looked, August Assange County.
Next time you hear us, we'll be... checking out Meryl Streep's filmography, which I'm really excited about. And we've already started watching like loads of her back catalogue. But if you've got any suggestions and stuff for Cate Blanchett or Sam Rockwell, they'll be the next ones coming up. And would love to hear your suggestions.
Definitely. And just to clarify, we're using IMDb as the resource for this.
Yeah, as like the benchmark, I suppose.
And IMDb can change.
Yeah.
So... these are always as of the time of recording.
Mm.
I know for a fact that the Meryl Streep known for has changed since we initially chose to do her.
Really?
Yeah. So you said it was Out of Africa, Devil Wears Prada, August Assange County and Julie and Julia.
Yeah.
When we first looked, it was Out of Africa, Devil Wears Prada, Doubt and Julie and Julia.
Oh, really?
So
August Assange
County
has like been shifted up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So hopefully it doesn't catch us out and we haven't watched something that gets shifted in. But hopefully if it's big enough film to get shifted in, we've seen it.
It'll be on our radar.
Okay,
cool.
But yeah. And I think that's about it. So Meryl Streep next time. And then next month, Sam Rockwell and Cate Blanchett. So any suggestions, we'd love to hear from you.
Cool.
And you can email us at...
oh, 94@gmail.com. Should I get
94pod@gmail.com. 94 probably was taken.
Let me check Gmail.
You can email us at the email that we're literally setting up now because we forgot that we might need an email address if you want to get in contact with us.
No, don't put that in.
Why not?
Create an account.
Not professional enough.
94pod.
Is it free? So you can email us at known4pod@gmail.com. And you can also contact me on Twitter at Bob Shoy. That's at BOBSHOY. You'll find me on there if you want to contact me.
Hmm.
Is there any way you want to contact you or not?
Nah, don't bother. I'm not on Twitter.
Just on the email. And if you are interested in hearing more stuff, I also host two other podcasts. You can listen to Weird Tales and The Unexplainable, which I host with my friends Tiss and Beef. We talk about a new topic every episode in the realm of the paranormal, the extraterrestrial, the strange, the unexplained, all that stuff. That's been running for 4 years. And you can also listen to 5 Minute Folklore, which is my solo folklore storytelling podcast. It's on a break at the moment, but that will be coming back soon. If you want to support me and get some bonus content, you can go to patreon.com/BobShoy, BOBSHOY, and you can donate as little as $1 a month to help support my time editing and putting the podcast together. But if you donate $5 a month, you get access to all of my free podcasts. So that's 2 episodes of Weird Tales and The Unexplainable a month, 2 episodes of Known For a month, 1 episode of 5 Minute Folklore, plus 2 bonus episodes of Weird Tales, 1 bonus episode of 5 Minute Folklore, and a spin-off podcast to this called 4 and 1 More, where me and Becca make a top four of a subject of our choice this month to celebrate the fact that we did Tom Hanks for our first episode, and he's in our Known For list with Toy Story. Mm-hmm. We're going to do our top 4 and 1 More Pixar films.
Yeah, Pixar.
So we compile our list separately
and discuss them.
And there's lots of good Pixar films. Mm. So if you want to listen to that, it's $5 a month. You get an extra episode a month of me and Becca talking about films.
And stuff. Yay.
And that's about it.
And I'm going to build the website like soon.
Okay.
So there'll be a website and stuff.
So as we're a new podcast, one final thing before we go. If you could take the time to go to iTunes and leave a rating and review. As we're a new podcast, that's really, really going to help us out.
Yay.
So please do that.
And fuel our egos.
Yeah, and also it's nice to read reviews unless they're bad reviews. All right, so we've been talking too long. Thanks so much for listening.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.